Welcome back. This was the Uniform Voting System Advisory Committee, phase two of our meeting. What I would like to do, and I'm just going to run this by you in the interest of time, is go through the, I mean, in the event that we do not get additional time, I still think we need to have some specific comments on the requirements for the RFP. Hopefully we get the additional time, but given that we may not, that's my suggestion would be to go by page, and if people have any items they have to make a comment on, that we get it recorded as part of our recommendations in terms of the requirements. So anyone else have any other suggestions on how you would like to proceed?
Madam Chair, this is Al. I would like to acknowledge that we have Len Vest in the room, and we have the requirements up on a screen for you to see, and he's live with his laptop so that he can record your comments as we go. That was at your request. Len is the contractor that we've hired to put the entire RFP together. He's been working on all the other sections beyond just the system requirements as well. So,
great.
Before we get into that, may I ask a question that's kind of left over from last week?
Sure.
Just real quickly, Al, did Secretary State Gessler come back with any thoughts on what we'll be doing with our certification process going forward? He said that he needed to look into it, but I don't think any of us have heard anything back yet.
This is Al. I think the answer to that is probably nothing yet. He has given me direction that as soon as this RFP is out, it is my job to find out absolutely everything there is to know about certification, how it can get done, when it can get done, who can do it, and what we need to make sure that happens. So I haven't done anything on it yet. I've been a little busy. But that's the direction that I've gotten. So I don't know of anything beyond that, Sheila.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments, questions, any other suggestions in terms of process, how you want to move forward? Okay. Sheila, you have yours in front of you?
I do.
Okay, good. Okay, so let's just start with page B4, if anybody has any comments on that one. It's just, yeah, this would be B4 is what, A1 through A5?
Where are the page numbers?
They're right on the bottom here.
No, not in my version. Okay.
None of yours?
But there's, I have other some versions. Others. I have
others. Oh, okay.
No.
Okay. Deb, I can call out the letters too. Go ahead.
I wanted to maybe just ask a question to back up on B2, where there's the instructions for completing. I noticed when I read through the HART comments, they had a question about whether all five of those categories were really applicable. And I just wondered what others thought about that.
I read those comments also. I guess I'm... You know, we're not going to be a part of the evaluation team, or if we are, I would want someone, you know, Len, what do you think?
We discussed that and decided to stay with the five.
We discussed that and we decided we should stay with the five. In other words, one, they have full functionality for the requirement. Two, they have partial functionality. What would it take to get full? And three, they don't have any functionality. We discussed it as a group and decided we'd just keep it the way it is.
Go ahead, Connie.
Well, I just wondered maybe we could ask Lynn, and because I know Al had said earlier that they'd already looked through some of the items and had already made some considerations. Are there some in here that you've already changed? Maybe we could start with that.
Or when we get to that page, can you, or is that easier to do for you, or are you going to tell me at the beginning?
I've made notes on the public version of things that we've changed or updated or added. I didn't get through the whole thing, but I'll try to try to help you out.
As we go through each page, you will tell us then? Is that what you're, okay. Does that work, Connie?
Yep.
Oh, cool, great. So what if someone rates it like a 3.5?
We'll round down. I don't know.
You don't specify that.
I've never had
that
happen.
That was my comment on that page, was you don't specify. You please use whole numbers. Just a comment.
Good suggestion.
Okay, now back to B. Any other thing on, you know, B2 through B4?
I'm sorry, we're on the Bs?
The pages, I'm sorry. Page B4, B2 to B4.
Okay, requirements A1 through A5?
Five, yes. Any comments on those, A1 through 5? Anything from the public, Lynn?
On A3, we divided it up so that it actually had, we just have a requirement for creation, the modification. We broke it down so, you know, we have more defined requirements, but we didn't change any of the meaning.
Okay. Requirements A6 through A8. I think I have one little thing on here that might be applicable in here in terms of the data. There was one public comment that dealt with ownership and custodian of data. Is that in?
We added that.
You added that one in here? Okay. Anything on voter privacy and confidentiality? Did you add anything on that?
We have a statement somewhere about that.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly where it is. But.
All right. Those were just the two that I got out of the public comment ones that were pretty, to me, were pretty important that needed to be.
I have a question about A6.
Okay, Sheila.
It's a technical thing, but what is meant by that allows global edits?
What we were getting at there is if you have to change a particular item, but it occurs three or four times in a database, the ability to only have to do it once.
So triggers.
Okay.
Are you going to give better clarification on that? I noticed that was one of the public comments, too. Is the global edits the definition of that?
We left it the same.
Okay.
We can clarify that. That was a big issue with our technical volunteers.
It was, yes, it was. So that they don't have.
That the technical volunteers wanted it in there?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Faith, and I think it's important to explain or elaborate on what that means. Thank you.
Anything on requirements A9 through 16?
We added a requirement on that page to allow for 10-digit precinct numbers.
That sounds like a good addition.
Yes.
We couldn't decide which two to leave off, so.
You did, okay. Yeah. That is a good addition. Any others on that page? Any comments or additions to A17 through A20? Okay. Any from you, Lynn? None on those?
A20, we broke up into three requirements. You don't like to say a requirement needs to do A, B, and C. It's better to say you need to do A, you need to do B, you need to do C.
I see. Broke this one up. Okay. requirements A21 through A25.
We moved A23 to the subcategory of import-export, since that it was more of an import-export requirement versus ballot creation.
Okay.
And Madam Chair, I want to explain to you why we didn't give you the versions that that we had updated, knowing that you had had yours in your possession for some time and made your notes on them and with particular numbers. The numbering scheme has changed significantly with the changes that we made from the public comments. So we didn't want to confuse the issue. So hopefully we'll be able to cover everything this way, but we thought it would be easier for you to track given the information that you already had.
Are you insinuating we confuse easy?
I am not.
Oh, good, good.
This is Faith. I do confuse easily. So I appreciate that. But will you be sending out to us for final review the fully revised document?
We can certainly do that.
I would appreciate that. Thanks.
Depending upon how timing things work here.
That's right, as we move. Okay, anything on...
I had a quick question, Deb, clarify. So if we're on two tracks of timing right at the moment, so we're trying to get in as many changes as we can, but if we get a longer time period and we have subsequent changes, then we can incorporate those as well.
This is correct.
Okay.
This is, you know, under the auspices that we don't get additional time. Requirements A26 through A31.
I have
on 26 we added an F.
Go ahead, Len.
I'm sorry. On 26 we added an F for multiple font features, and then another note to ask about their font capabilities.
And Sheila?
One of my comments had to do with A26E and just confirming that that would be an optional thing. We just recently had litigation and rules about sequential numbers on ballots. And that one has to do with paper ballots with sequential numbering.
That's right, we did. You want to verify that, Al?
Yeah,
committee decide not to change it.
All right, pardon me. Yeah, we're asking the vendors to submit that they do have the ability to do that, and that would be to provide sequential numbering on stubs, if at all. I mean, to be able to do it to our specifications.
Okay, maybe the word stub would be nice.
There.
E.
An E.
Yeah. We can certainly add that.
And then another question. What's the thought behind multiple sized stubs? I've never heard of such a thing. Did that come from the technical group as well? And that's number B under A26, or letter B under A26, I mean.
This is Al. That was discussed by the technical group, and they wanted to make sure that we had those options.
Okay, thanks.
I had a question on 826F, which is on the fonts. And I confess I don't have this memorized. Do we address in here elsewhere the need to print font sets that include Spanish characters? Because I know we've got several counties that are still mandatory bilingual ballots.
Wayne, this is Al. I'm not sure that we specifically have that, but we do have requirements in here that they'd be able to accommodate multiple languages.
And at a minimum, English and Spanish.
Right.
Okay, I don't know if we want to be specific or not in the ballot creation, but I know when... for example, Sawatch County recall that we ran, it was both in English and Spanish, and there are some character sets that are slightly different. So I think given we have some counties that are mandatory Spanish ballots, I think we ought to address that.
I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah. Yes, A12 already has that provision in there. I'm not sure if that would cover that or not.
Go back, like I said,
I think it was A12.
Yeah, but he's talking about more in terms of the characters, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
But, yeah, you're right. You might want to put it under A12.
Yeah, you maybe just specifying it under A12 works. I'm not saying which is the place it needs to be, but good catch on that.
Okay.
I just know it's important that, you know, you have that capability.
Anything on A32 through A43?
I have one question for Len on A28 before
sure.
we move on. Len, so I had submitted a comment that I hadn't been able to find any requirement for being able to adjust the speed of the audio. That's, frankly, the number one complaint yeah. that I hear from voters using the audio interface is that,
I added that.
It is so slow. So
I think we've added that under the accessibility section.
Okay, but because I wondered if A28, I mean, it's pretty broad, but if it addresses it, but I would like to see it very specifically added. So, okay.
It's under accessibility.
Okay, but this is where you said it was already in here?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments on that page?
Just to clarify, and probably because I'm in the midst of it, so one of the options that would be there, and this is an A22, would be that we only count your ballot on the replacement candidate if you voted yes or no on the recall. And that's covered in that provision, correct?
That was exactly our intent with that.
Thank you.
Now we're on to A32 through A43.
Were there any considerations to the comments on including the word style with precincts?
What number are you on, Sheila?
It is A32 and A33.
Okay. We added two reports, by ballot batch and by style within precinct. And then we added a ranked voting results report.
Okay, thanks.
I
only have the old version in front of me, so.
That's what we have, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Len's the only one that has the new version.
So the main thing, I think, is I want to get your changes, and then if they're already in there, no problem. If they're not, we'll get them in there, and then we'll get you a full copy.
Okay.
And we also added on A41, we added EML, which is election markup language.
So my question on I guess it actually starts. It's A32 through A36 in conjunction with A45. And A45 is dealing with the less than 10, but is talking about total number of votes cast in any precinct by early voters mail-in is less than the threshold of 10. When we've got the reports in A32 through A36, we want those reports to be able to also omit or combine any of those. And this goes to the issue for those that didn't wrestle as much with the Cora bill as some of us did last year. If you have fewer than 10 people voting, in a precinct or by ballot style or by ballot type or by location or by precinct, and it's any combination of those unique characteristics, you need to be able to not report how those individuals voted in that unique number. And it's particularly important for the men and women in the military, because our military bases, we've got some local elections when you had one or two people voting in a particular local election or a particular primary, and you could have figured out how they voted. So
just to make sure we understand what it is you want, that the A45 requirement needs to apply to every report that's produced, regardless of whether it's by contest, by style, by whatever.
It does.
Okay.
It does.
That would be a separate report, you know, that you'd want to print.
Well, and I guess, and this goes to the issue of voter privacy. I want to be able to produce a, and we actually had a request in our office just yesterday, or the day before, I forget which it was. It's all blurring together. But they can give them results by voting location or by precinct, but that omits that. And I want to have the ability to run that report myself without it showing up, because just like I don't want the public to know how someone voted, I don't want my staff or an election judge to know how someone voted. So I think we need that in all of 32 through 36 to protect.
Right. Under that requirement, I'll add that this has to apply to all reports out of the system.
Thank you.
And then I'm also asking a note there, to, you know, please explain how you do that. Get a little tricky.
Well, and a lot of those answers are really that it's manually, I mean, it's managed by someone, right? How does a system exclude a couple votes from our one school district where there's only two voters in it?
Well, I think when it's a jurisdiction-wide one, which is A31, that you can't do much with it on A31. But that's why I just included 32 through 36.
The statute talks about precincts.
Yeah, but if I've got a precinct with... As I envision this new system going forward, most people return by mail. But I may have a precinct with 500 people in it where three people vote at a voting service and polling center. And I want to make sure that when I then produce results, because candidates want to drill down, parties want to drill down as far as possible. And when they want to drill down, we've got to make sure we provide that voter privacy, even in the drilling down of those reports.
So it goes further than the statute.
My needs go further than the statute. And I think most of my fellow clerks
agree.
That may be an issue for legislation, too, to clarify that. I mean, we can certainly deal with it here.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we deal with it here.
We deal with it here right now, yeah.
Yeah, got it.
I mean, we're not violating the statute. Dennis, go ahead.
Are you asking for an automated
system? I can't hear what's being said.
He asked if we're asking for an automated process, and the answer is yes. When I push the button to get a report of votes by ballot style, I would like it to... In my perfect system, I don't have to go through and manually adjust things. It automatically combines things less than 10.
So I think what we'll get on this response is if a vendor doesn't have an automated tool to go out and find these issues for us and kind of fix them on the back end, which is kind of a scary thought because I want actual data. You know what I mean? But if they don't have that ability, then I would imagine that they'll come back with some sort of a manual process for us to follow in order to accomplish the same goal. so I don't think there's any harm in including it.
Yeah, and what we ultimately did, here's the challenge we're at right now, which is because some precincts are, and we don't have a way of automatically combining it, we don't run it for any of them. And that then doesn't give the candidates as much information as they would like, because if you go on our website, you can't get those specific precinct and voting style reports that people would like. And in my perfect world of this voting system, I would like to be able to give you the reports for the ones it's okay to give you and just say, and there were 5,000 other votes and unique styles, unique ballots that I can't tell you exactly how that worked.
This discussion validates our reasoning for adding the note, please tell us how you do this.
True.
Because if there's only three people with a style of votes in a particular location and you run a report by location, it's got to figure out, okay, well, what location do I want to stick those three people in? And, of course, balancing things gets horrendous.
Yeah, and whether it is, you know, unassigned, it creates an unassigned, but I like I do like what you put there about tell us how you're doing it. Or is it combine it with the largest? I don't know what it is, but it's the challenge. And it's true in large counties. I think Jeffco, before this last redistricting, had like six people in one congressional district. It's true in small counties. It's true. We've got so many overlapping special districts that when you get into special ballot styles, it really becomes an issue for us, too.
Okay, anything on A44 through A50? A51 through A52.
I'm sorry, I wasn't quick enough. Was there any adjustment made to A49, voting results reporting?
A what number? A49.
A49.
We reworded it.
So you 57.
Provide an easily readable method to identify the candidate slash measure with the most votes in each contest. Note, system should have this feature as an option, so not used on partial results reports. Is that the one you're talking about? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
You've got that listed as a single candidate. Is that correct?
You're talking about A49?
Yes.
And this was Al's request originally, that when you see the results, it would be nice to highlight the person that got the most votes.
Right, and the reason I asked about single is we have multi-candidate districts for school boards, city councils,
right,
and others where we'd want to highlight the two candidates with the most or the three candidates with most.
So it just needs an S on there.
Huh? The winners, yeah. The winners. Or the currently leading winners.
Yes.
Till the canvas is done, but we've got lots of those.
We'll add a parens S after candidate there.
Thanks.
Highlight the candidates with the most votes. How would you highlight the candidates with most votes?
Well, if it's a vote for three,
depends on.
Well, I thought instead of highlight it now says easily identify.
Oh, right.
It does.
We changed that.
Okay.
Based on the number of slots available, or you know, you probably need some clarification there other than just a parens S.
We'll do it.
A51 through A55.
Welcome to the bees.
B, ballot scanning, B1 through B8.
Was there any adjustment made to B7?
We reworded it.
Mm-hmm.
Have the ability to write cast vote records to a secured media device during operation that the EMS can disallow from being tabulated prior to the close of polls on election day.
Do we need that? Because our law currently says we can tabulate 15 days prior. I mean, I guess I'm glad that you guys added the option. I'm just wondering what the intent is.
Any other response to that?
Well, the way it's written, it gives us it has the ability for us to do that, whether we choose to use it and how we choose to use that, I think, is a decision for the election official.
I like the option. Did this also come from our technical committee people who wanted something like this?
I believe that it did, yes.
Okay. It's interesting. It's a new concept for me, so... Thank you.
On the B, do we, and again, I confess I don't have all of these memorized, do we address elsewhere the ability to scan from bolded, torn off, partial ballots, or how do we address the ability to handle a less than pristine ballot?
Go ahead, Al.
I don't believe we have dealt with that.
I think there's something in the certification rule on handling of damaged ballots. It seems to me that there is. But it's also a manual process if they're terribly damaged.
Right.
Wayne, can you explain a little further what you would suggest that we put in?
Well, I think some of it, as Sheila pointed out, maybe in certification rules, but we, you know, voters fold ballots. In fact, we require them to fold ballots a lot of time to send it in. And so maybe that's all kind of presumed in here. I don't know if we need to specify it, but there are some things that get thrown off when people fold a ballot in the wrong place. You know, we have these, whether it's a pre-creased or it was folded when it came to them, people refold their ballots and different things. And so this, since it's the scanning area, I don't know if we wanted to address, or maybe we just refer generally to the standards that exist.
I think that for sure we want to put something like that in your central ballot scanning. We're into polling location ballot scanning now, and it's less likely to be an issue, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't address it in both places.
Yeah, it's less likely, but still voters do interesting things with ballots.
So is it a question or a requirement that we're looking for on that? Like, how do they handle misfolded ballot, or do we want to say misfolded ballots will be blah, blah, blah?
I think we have to ask it as a question because, I mean, we really can't say, okay, if a ballot is 10% destroyed or damaged, how does it happen? That doesn't work.
How do they handle non-pristine ballots? Maybe is.
I'm trying to search the current rules in certification in 45. I know I've seen it stated somewhere before in our requirements.
Because it may be damaged, it may just be folded. I don't know if it counts as damaged, but something other than the perfect ballot.
What I might do is on the C, well, I can do it on both places, but on the central scanning, I might move C2 up, switch C2 and C1. So the first requirement is scan paper ballots into, and we've changed that to identifiable and locatable batches, and then put a note there about how would you handle situations where ballots are corrupted or not pristine or whatever.
Yeah.
Do we need it in the polling place scanner too? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is a central scanner for some people, probably.
It is.
It is. Okay, anything else on B1 through B8? C1 through C12?
I think we deleted C6.
That's a good idea.
I don't think we want to delete anything, maybe update status of it. But
I had that highlighted as a question. So
I think the reason that got put in there, if I remember the discussion, is that there are systems where you commit the batch and then you discover that there should have been two more ballots in it, or what, you discover that something went wrong with the scan, and at that point your only option is then is to delete that batch and rerun it.
Mm-hmm. Delete it?
And on C12, the next to the last line, we put number of ballot pages processed. And I think that probably got into those if we have multi-page ballots, how do you really know how many ballots are in the batch? Was that our conversation?
Yeah, it's always an issue. It may not be the first ballot, so.
The first page, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so how is it actually?
Mm-hmm. Okay. C13 through C22.
What was the discussion on C6? Do we need it? Do we not need it?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think
we could say
need
logically
it.
Delete, not physically delete it, but logically delete means you tag it as deleted.
Oh.
You know, don't use it.
How about delete or disallow or something?
Maybe we'll take that one back to the technical volunteers and ask them to
check on that.
To rediscuss.
Yeah, for clarity. Yeah.
I do worry about the word delete there. I agree with that.
Right.
Do we... And again, I'm just, did we address two-sided ballots somewhere? I saw the multi-page.
That kind of seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Obviously, we want double-sided ballots, but it isn't in here.
Two-sided ballots is definitely...
I feel sorry for the vendor that says, no, we only do one side.
Probably it's belongs back in, like, yeah. In the A's.
Yeah, I think it's in here someplace, but we'll make sure.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to make sure. I haven't memorized this.
I know we created. I don't know if they can scan it, but we'll make sure.
We can't scan it. Minor detail there. All right.
Thanks.
Well, there's a requirement. Be able to scan everything we create.
Wow. C13 through C22.
We added a couple of things. On the scanner, display publicly the number of ballots that's been processed. I don't know if that's going to have to be ballot pages or not. And then a use counter, that kind of a lifetime use counter, so you can know when the maintenance might be required, things like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. C23. What does high speed mean?
High speed means different than
my high speed, yes. Connie's is a lot different than mine.
Processes every ballot in Morgan County within 6 hours.
Hours, yeah. Is it 300 to 500 ballots per minute? Is it?
Seems like at one time we had a number, huh?
Did we define this?
I didn't see it in here.
Yeah, I think somewhere in, I think somewhere we have defined it because we talked previously about high speed being not less than 300 a minute, and in this committee, or maybe that was with the technical volunteers. Well, we'll take a look at that, and if we haven't defined it, we either will or we'll take it out.
Seems like I've seen it before as well, and I think it included just nonstop processing.
Hmm.
Somewhere. I've seen it as well.
Okay. Just verify that there's some definition to that. I didn't remember seeing it.
Thank you.
Or maybe adding in there that someplace that we need to get the rate, you know, that's a specification that we know.
Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was interesting. It was in the requirement subcategory of error handling. I was just curious why it's called error handling.
Well, because we're talking about things that are getting outstacked there.
Okay. All right. All right. Thanks.
D, 1 through 6. I think Faith, yes.
I'm trying to decide. Yeah, I'm going to confess to you all that I missed that perhaps the way this was presented to us did not address ballot marking devices. I really appreciated Hart InterCivics comments and Pamela Smith's comments from Verified Voting, and they apply to all of these under the many of these under the accessibility.
Yeah, we changed almost all those to include or mark, you know, ballot marking device.
Yeah, and it was not our intent to design things for DRE. When we went to electronic voting, we thought we had it all covered, but some of the comments showed us that we had not done an adequate job of that.
And I'm really glad to hear that. And I made an assumption when I reviewed this that you were including ballot marking devices, and probably the same assumption you all made.
Absolutely, that was our intent.
So I'm glad to know that you've incorporated those comments. They were excellent. Excellent comments.
We figured Hart must have an interest in that because they certainly commented a lot.
Well, but I also want to highlight Pamela Smith and Verified Voting comments, which were very similar to Hart's, and also Douglas Town from Florida, who is a blind voter with a strong interest in this, and his experience has been on the auto mark, so he framed it that way, but his comments were right on also.
We changed D2 based on a disabled voter input. They said that it would be very confusing if a lot of things were put up on the screen before you even start voting. And we changed that to just put up a prominent ID like your precinct and your party, just so you can say, yeah, this is me, and then go right into voting.
Yes, I fully agree with that.
We kind of have some competing interest on that. I think that's valid, but we heard before about the need, and I think this was from our technical volunteers, the need for whatever electronic kind of display you have to allow the voter to ascertain that they're voting on that the contest that will be presented to them are the contests that they're supposed to vote on. You offer, you know, a ballot ID and a precinct number that may not be enough for the voter, and then they get to the back of it and they say, oh, wow, I don't have Congressional District 5 on here, and I know I should, so I've been voting the wrong ballot. So that's we have competing interests there, and I'd be interested in you discussing with you, Faith, how to write this requirement so that we can make sure that people with accessibility issues are able to handle it easily and still provide for all voters as well. And we can discuss that offline if you want.
And I think we should, because I think it is a could be a lengthy conversation.
Okay.
I think where you know voters with disabilities are coming from is, especially here in Colorado, our ballots on at least an even-yeared elections are already so long, and it does take people 45 minutes to vote. And using the audio interface, especially because they can't speed up the voice, the audio ballot. So, yeah, I think, but I like the suggestions that we've seen from the public commenters on this. So it seems to me that there's got to be an easy way to just summarize which ballot this is without going through every single race. I'm not sure. And some of that might be a voter education piece in advance. I just don't know. I don't know how. So I think we'll need to talk about it.
Thank you.
And maybe present it to the Accessibility Task Force for their input.
Any other comments on D1 through D6? D7 through D10. Again, there were some very good comments from Hart on this one.
And verified voting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We had one advocate that we decided to agree with on D9. We actually deleted it.
The whole, all of D9 is out?
Yeah, but we kept D8 about, their comments were, why do you need a writing surface? What does well lit mean? Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't get into lumens or anything like that.
And I understand why you put in, this is Faith, why you put in well lit, because another frequent complaint that I hear generically is that it was too dark. I couldn't read my ballot, and that's for people voting
right.
on paper ballots primarily, or for people with low vision, they might need brighter light, especially if they're marking a paper ballot. The writing surface, when I read that comment last night, I said, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense, so I'm glad that you took it out.
And
especially as we're moving towards, I see the future being tablets, And mobile devices, and it makes no sense to have that.
So, Faith, do you think our references in D8 to the ADA and ADAG adequate covers the well lit, or do we need to work that in there somehow as a specific item?
I'm pretty familiar with the ADAG, which is now called the ADA Standards for Accessible Design. It's no longer called the ADAG. Mm. But I'm not real familiar with lighting requirements in it. But it's really not designed for polling places, the ADA standards.
Okay.
So you can reference it, but really and truly the accessibility requirements in the pending version is going to be the best that's out there.
D11 and 12.
Oh, by the way, on D10, we added a ninth note saying, please describe additional features to accommodate voters with disabilities.
That one's the old 8. You must have inserted one.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
They keep my numbers straight. And I was doing this on the train this morning because I just found out about this meeting yesterday as I was leaving.
Okay. So you don't know which one you added?
Oh, I said I added a note. number nine.
Yeah, but nine was.
On D10, your D10.
But it was the old eight.
But that's the old eight.
So we missed that as one.
So what was the other note that you added?
Right, that was it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I don't know what, I don't know.
We'll check that out.
All right.
Thank you.
poor guys put on the.
Oh, that's probably my fault.
Good catch.
D 13 through D 19.
This is Faith. Under D 13, did you add following the printing of a marked ballot? So it would read something like support an enlarged ballot for voters with visual impairments following the printing of a marked ballot or the casting of a vote, the machine must reset. Did you just add, by any chance, the printing of a marked ballot? That was a HART recommendation.
Do we print?
That's referencing a ballot marking device then? Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry, I'm nodding my head.
Got it.
They had that under D12 as well. Mm-hmm. And you can tell I'm definitely biased towards ballot marking devices. That would be my preference. Then voters with disabilities are voting on the same ballot as everybody else, the same paper ballot as everybody else.
All right. D20 through D25.
This is where I got off the train, so I don't have comparisons made. So just tell me what you want, and we'll check it out.
Len, that's an interesting metaphor.
I'm ready to get off the train.
Yeah, he was ready, right. D26 through D29. D30, 31. We're into the E's.
Okay, I do have actually one question on D31.
Okay.
When we say large enough, we're just leaving that kind of in the eye of the evaluator?
It's not a good requirement as far as being specific.
Well,
what's large enough?
Which is why we asked them to identify the characteristics there.
Okay.
The standard, the typical standard for large print is 18 point font and bold. And at least double space. So how practical is that for a VVPAT? I don't think it's very practical. It's one of the reasons why I'm not a fan of VVPATs. But the comments that I submitted, and I received assistance from Dr. Diane Golden, who is a member of the Technical Guidelines Development Committee and a nationally recognized expert in assistive technology and accessible voting. And it's my understanding that the proposed new standards through the certification standards do address this. But I would like to see her comments about the VVPAT be incorporated into this or her recommendations because they, again, reflect the future standards. And I believe that we still have in statute the requirement that in a recount, it is that VVPAT that becomes the official ballot of record. And a VVPAT is not accessible to voters with print disabilities. So voters who are blind and voters who have reading disabilities cannot independently verify their VVPAT. And it's a huge problem. And particularly in a recount, it could be a very huge problem. So what I submitted, the comments that I submitted would be what I would like to see in the requirements.
Okay, we'll go back and check those. Sorry we missed that.
Well, we changed it. I have the capability of if proposing a DRE-type machine for the print on the VPAT to be large enough and dark enough for voters to verify and for poll workers to read easily and recount. Was that yours?
No, that wasn't mine. I mean, that's fine for people who, you know, for people like me who have trouble seeing small print close up. It's not going to solve the problem for people who can't see it no matter how big it is.
It appears that right now the only solution to that is a ballot marking device that can read the ballot back and tell them what's on it, right?
That would be correct. That would be another reason why I'm an advocate for ballot marking devices.
We walked right
but
into
there
that.
Is, I believe there that there is another way which involves barcodes and scanners. But I'm not sure with the barcode if that does that open up a whole set of new other issues around privacy. I don't know. I it's not my area of expertise.
The standards, the last I worked with them, were allowing the barcode for certain areas. So it depends on the area, the back, the names. That was basically, I mean, you know, they're definitely are allowing, anyway, the last I worked with them, but that was a year and a half, so we'd have to check into it. But anyway, I think by them saying what they're doing, it gives us an idea and as we move forward.
Maybe this is the one we added from you. Provide a means for voters with disabilities, parentheses, visually impaired or unable to read, to review the VPAT. Note, the review of the VPAT by voters that cannot see or read, the VPAT requires a feature that enables readback from the physical VPAT.
That works for me.
So we did read your letter.
Thank you.
E6 through E13. I just go back to the definition of high volume and low volume.
Pardon?
Did we skip E1 through?
Did we? Did I?
Address
purposely?
Pitch.
Did we skip E1 through E? Sorry, E5.
I don't have anything.
Okay.
Are we?
Okay.
Which ones are we on?
E6. High volume. Low volume. Do you have that defined?
Okay, we changed it to say provide a high volume solution of at least 300 envelopes per minute for counties with a large voter population.
Perfect.
Note, please specify the throughput capacity on your high volume envelope processor. Note 2, county size by registered voter population is as follows. Greater than or equal to 175,000 voters is large. Medium is 75,000 to 174,999, and small is less than 75,000 voters.
Is that, I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, but I know that 1303 specifies three different categories of sizes of counties. Does that mirror that or not?
It does not.
You think you should?
We can.
The large is 25,000 or... more.
Yeah. Okay.
Is the tier one counties, right?
Right. So I just think we may want to mirror that same definition.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could definitely, mean a difference in cost.
And we are checking with the counties who currently do this kind of mail ballot envelope processing to see what their requirements are, what their throughput is. We picked 300. I don't know where we got that. We got it from some conversation we had, but I'm not sure that that's really the right number, and so we're validating that.
And with voters, if that's a voter total, 75,000 is so large a number for the end of small that that would include just
handful.
You'd only have a handful of counties that wouldn't be in that category.
We added one that says provide a low volume solution for counties with a small or medium voter population. Please specify the throughput capacity on your low volume envelope processor.
Same issue.
Yeah, same issue. And we really do have, I mean, even the thresholds need to change just because what's going to make sense for a Garfield County may be very different than what makes sense for Hinsdale County.
Okay, well, we can use the 1303 definition. It just seemed to me that comparing a 25,000 voter county with a 350,000 voter county is a stretch as well.
Right. No, I agree. There ought to be that distinguishing. Maybe the medium range is longer. I don't know.
Okay.
Why do we need to equate it with county size in the RFP?
Well, we're asking for them to provide solutions for counties with different needs based upon the number of ballots that there will be, ballot envelopes will be processing through these ballot sorters, or envelope sorters, excuse me.
And then wouldn't it be a county decision on whether they felt like they needed the fast one or the slow one?
Yeah, I'm sure it would be. We just want to make sure that we get quotes on all the sizes that are available.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds like the question. What sizes do you have?
Yeah.
Right. And what, you know, at what volume do each one of your sizes have?
We've asked them to list all of their equipment and the specifications for each device. It's one of the questions we've asked them, so they'll probably give us their brochures.
Pardon?
Well, they'll tell us those three or four.
Wayne?
On this section, do we have detabbing? We have tearing off. Some counties use a tab to cover the signature so that the whole world doesn't see your signature, which is a fairly significant processing time of going through and manually doing it. I know we've got the scanning the envelopes in and we've got the verification of signatures. Do we want to at least ask? And we're not aware of one that does this yet. But there's a lot of time involved in that when you're going
yes.
through it. Do we want to ask if they have a solution for that?
Good point.
I need to excuse myself. I have another commitment, and Wayne has volunteered to conduct the rest of the meeting on my behalf. Thank you, Wayne. Oh, God.
Heck
good luck,
yeah.
guys.
Anything else on E6 through E13? Seeing none. Any on E14 or F1 and 2?
F1 and 2.
Okay. Go ahead.
Was anything changed in the section regarding handing off support or allowing for other options in a contract going forward? I think what comes to mind is that, like, Hart InterCivic would not allow other counties to program for counties that were not able to purchase the BOSS system. And somebody else could probably give more information on that when the counties contracted with them many years ago. So I was just curious if that was fixed.
We included it in the main part of the RFP.
Oh, okay. We haven't seen that part.
That they would actually have to work with us with a transition plan if we chose in the future to change support to CDOS, a third-party entity, such as a university. I guess I could include another large county or something.
Well, I think as long as there's something in there, I shouldn't see anything in the requirements.
Okay. It was hard to make a requirement because we don't even know if we're going to do it.
Right. Agreed. But it didn't allow for it either.
So we got it covered.
That's good to know. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll look at that and make sure that we're not excluding it with any of the language. Thank you.
Anything else on F? Moving on to G, G1 through G7. Not seeing any. G8 through G16. Not seeing any. G17 through G19.
She knew you could handle this.
This would be the easy part. Smart move on her. G20 through G26. G27 through G35. Any other issues that were not covered in one of these categories? I think Faith summarized when she was chatting with me the appreciation for the level of detail and the good work in preparing it, because I know it's hard to go through and read. It was certainly a lot harder to go through and prepare. Yeah. So.
Mr. Acting Chairman, I want to make sure that we give kudos to all the technical volunteers who drafted the base document from which we worked. They did all the hard work on this, putting these requirements together. They've been then massaged by the public and others, and with the document you have today, and your comments are very helpful. But the real hard lifting was the technical people who work out in the counties, whose clerks allowed them to commit their time to help with this. And I just wanted to give a sincere thanks to them. They did an outstanding job.
And please pass on the committee's appreciation for their work, because we would not have been well suited to have been the initial person group making that cut. That leads to the, if there's no other comments on that, then that completes item 5. The other thing that I think we need to get accomplished before we adjourn here is to figure out when our next meeting is going to be. And there is a conflict with August 8th. And so...
Well, I'm not saying you can't do the meeting without me. So if you decide to go ahead with that date, Wayne, I just I want to make sure that that's clear.
Okay. No, but I think Faith also said she was going to be there, and there may be others of us who may or may not.
And to Deb's point that she made earlier, what would our agenda look like? Is there a reason to schedule that meeting at this point?
So when is, Al, from your perspective, what we obviously haven't looked at the county survey results, and there are still some counties who haven't responded.
That is correct. And what I have for you to hand out is a very quickly put together summary of the responses we have in so far from the 35 or 37 counties that have responded. We can give those to you to take with you and discuss them later. You can submit your comments. We will be doing I think the survey information is an important piece, I think, that you all wanted to have, and I think you probably want to share that information with the commission as well. The nexus for the next meeting, I think, would be the ability to go through the survey and see. I'll pass those out. You want to just pass them around? And see where you want to go from there, but I think we need to give it a little more time to, I mean, I was shocked that we got 35 responses in 2 days, but, and it was a nice collection of large, medium, and small counties as well.
So the next meeting after the 8th is scheduled for the 29th.
Yep.
So I guess I would ask. Ah, okay. Thanks. Do we want to meet prior to August 29th? Do we need to meet sooner than August 29th?
To me, the question is, what do you want to do with the survey information? Do you need to meet to do something with it? If we give it out to you individually, does that accomplish your needs? I'm not sure what your next steps are with this information, and we're here to support you however you want to do that. But I'm not sure what your next steps are going to be with that survey information. And Sheila, I think you were probably pretty involved in developing the survey, so I'd be interested in whatever the committee has to say about how we can support whatever your next steps are, and that will kind of define the need for another meeting.
Okay. Does anyone have an objection or a problem with canceling the meeting on the 8th?
No.
Not hearing any. We will not have a meeting on the 8th. At this point, we'll plan on meeting on the 29th. And if that changes, then Deb will be contacting us, working with Al on that process.
And can I get a copy of the results that you've received so far via email, please?
Yes.
Thanks.
A question on
actually,
the...
if you can send all of it to us via email so that we can
I'll do that.
Share it with...
I'd like to pretty it up a little bit. I just ran it off really rough, so I'll take a day or so and clean it up a little bit and get it out to you if that's okay.
Does that work for everybody?
Will these survey results be publicly posted on the website, or are these internal... at this point, or I just want to know what the status is.
I think it ought to be internal until we have all of them, and then it could be a summary instead of county by county, is my opinion.
Yeah, it's staff work for this committee, so once it's presented to the committee, I mean, it becomes public knowledge and is required to be available. It's not final at this point, so we can talk about how that works.
Okay. So Al will work on preparing that, and then as we get compilation data, then we will make that publicly available.
Right.
But that takes a little bit of time to massage. Is there any other business that needs to come in front of us, Al?
Mr. Acting Chairman, I do need to raise an issue. It's been raised by our legal staff, and I was asked to remind all of you that you are a public body. That means communication between two of you constitutes a public meeting. That includes the emailing.
Two or three?
Two. At the state level.
At the state level?
Two. Yeah. We've gotten a bit lax on sending emails out to the committee from one committee member to others. And I think probably the appropriate way to do that is to run those emails to me. Let me distribute them to the committee, and I can post them then at the same time because they're required to be posted. We're in substantial compliance with the open meetings law, but there's just this little twist there that's kind of gotten a little bit out of hand, and we want to bring it back. So.
Okay. And you might just shoot an email, because half the committee is not here at the present time.
Yes, I will do that.
As they're all getting ready to go to the next meeting. There's no further business. We are adjourned until August 29th or otherwise reconvened. Thanks.